And now, another eFed journal entry with your host, TJ.
Hey everybody, it's TJ here, you know, the guy who handles the soul of Philly, as well as William Alexander Andrews. Great show on tap. It's going to be a two-parter. So it's the first time it's a single person getting a two-part episode. The reason why, it's because I have Terry Marvin. And I consider Terry a good friend in this game, but I didn't know a lot about him. Like, I'm friends with Chris Hart and Callahan, and I know a lot about them. So there wasn't I knew at least a lot about their characters. I mean, Callahan was only 15 months when we talked, so I practically knew the majority of that character. But I don't know. I didn't know a lot about Terry going into this. And we had some fun with it. The first part, we talk about pre-APW, so stuff that a lot of people didn't know Terry about. So this, it's only about an hour or so long, this is the part you're listening to. We talk about how he got the character, and then, comparing yesteryear's role-playing methods to today, and then, we talk about a character change that he's got and how it changes. So if you don't want to listen to that, skip over. I hope you want to listen to that. Get to know Terry Marvin before all the fame. That'd be great. But if you want to hear all that, go to part two. And we pick it up right as he starts going into APW, and we take it from there. So that one's a lot. I had a lot more fun in the last 2 hours, which that is. Because it was stuff that I knew about, but I was finding stuff out. So if you don't want to know about Terry pre-fame, hop over, stop now, head over to part two. If you're sticking in, you want to listen, we'll start right after this.
This week's journal entry is brought to you by
Level 7 Wrestling. Are you ready for the next level? Look no further than Level 7 Wrestling. L7W is a company that is in kayfabe stepped up in the gaming industry that strives to make its product hip and edgy and all around a new spin on wrestling. Out of character, they aim to provide a full RP fed with an angle bonus. In between, their bi-weekly RP show will be an angled show that is there solely to push your character and your feuds to the coming pay-per-view. First show will debut on September 14th. That's September 14th, 2013. Are you ready for the next gen in wrestling? Are you ready for Level 7 Wrestling? Check them out at W11, that's W, the letter W, 11, the number 11, .zetaboards.com/L7W. Now that that's out of the way, please enjoy my interview, the first part of it, with Terry Marvin. Right about now. You know what? No, I can't do it like that now. I used to do, I count it down everything, and now I'm just, I got yelled at by Poncho saying, you can't, why are you saying back on the podcast, you never left, and I was like, so I've been trying to, work it into, just casual conversation, and then be like, oh, yeah, so we're on, and then everything, so it's awkward. You know what, screw it, just go from there. I screwed up, can't really do anything very well, and introduce people correctly, how am I going to introduce Terry Marvin? Because you got too many titles for me to actually run down a list of which champions you are. Just, you're all the champions. So, Terry, how are you doing? Because now we are on now. We're live.
Oh, we're on now. Okay. Thanks for the warning. Doing good.
Yeah, that's a little bit better than my failed attempt at just counting it down and getting it from there. Yeah. Everybody. So yeah, my guest this week, Terry Marvin, APW Undisputed Champion, SCW Global Champion, CRW Apex Champion. Anything else I'm missing?
Off the top of my head.
Okay. You might not even remember what titles you have. So, Why so? How many times did you show up in the CWC rankings? Just twice or three times?
I'm in there three times.
You're an asshole. I didn't even show up once, and you're fucking. It's fucking. It's just bullshit. Some fucking bullshit. Anyways. It's not me, bro.
Wow, so far this podcast has started out with a stumbling intro and a whole bunch of F-bombs.
What else is new between the two of us?
This is probably the high point, so.
Exactly, right? but yeah, the entire eFed Journal, almost everybody I've had on has a damn you, Terry Marvin. So that's, it's not like it's something new of me just cursing you and saying how much I hate you.
Hey, I've made the T-shirt.
The damn I've got it on now.
I've got it on, what is it, customtees.com.
Nice. They don't advertise. I don't have any advertising from them, so I guess we can just plug everybody, but yeah.
No, but why not?
So we're going to get behind the character that everybody says damn you to, that damns for all the winning and heartbreak that he causes, Terry Marvin. So take us to the very start. Where did Terry Marvin begin?
The character Terry Marvin began sometime in the mid to late 90s, because way before e-fetting actually started, I did goofy, nerdy backyard wrestling.
All right. Okay.
That's pretty much where that came from. And the real show was a character I made for that. And about, I don't know, 2000-ish is when I actually knew what an eFed was. I think they started out on I started out with like AIM, AIM eFeds, AIM chats, whatever it was basically what it started, how it started. And it kind of went from there.
Okay. How did those work, though? Like, because I know the email feds, and then there was the like the IWA Mid-South write-in stuff, like that stuff. How the hell did AIM feds work? All right, who can get the best in a single IM?
Didn't work very, very well. It was just, I didn't stick with it very well, very long.
I don't think we covered, because we did this, is the second time we've recorded. We recorded, what was that, May?
Don't tell anybody.
Back in May?
Yeah, it was early May. It was before APW's Mayhem. Yeah. I know that much.
Yeah, I do know, because there were things that were to happen with that.
Yeah.
But never actually did. But, so most of that stuff ended up being outdated as... fuck. Yeah, outdated as fuck. It was just real old. And so this is where, but yeah, I don't recall you saying it was an AIM fed when you started, like
I don't think I talked about that one because it was just not worth talking about.
Fair enough.
And so here I am talking about it again, so
I know. So
I've had fewer beers this time than I did last time, so.
You know what? No, sorry, we're going to have to put this on hold. You're going to have to get drunk now.
I'm working on it. The second half of this will be a hell of a lot better than the first half, I promise.
the backyard wrestling, because Talon was a backyard wrestler, and you're a backyard wrestler. Well, right. Were.
You
guys both were. Was Terry Marvin, like, is Terry Marvin now exactly how you were when you were backyard wrestling?
No.
No? Wasn't arrogant? He wasn't flying
around? Oh, no, he was. But he was basically a ripoff of Chris Jericho at that time.
Oh, okay. How many moves did he claim to know? 1,005?
Wasn't that Dean Malenko?
No, yeah, but... Dean Malenko was a man of 1,000 holds. Jericho said he was a man of 1,004.
You're right.
And then said arm bar, arm wrench, goes to commercial, Boston Crab. So what'd you know, 100, 1,005, 1,006?
Oh, way more than that. Oh, I knew them all.
You knew them all.
I knew them all.
So, how was that backyard wrestling? Because I always wanted to do it, but it just never got, like, it never had the opportunity. What?
There was a couple different instances of it. We had about, I don't know, a group of 8 friends or so that pretty much started out doing it on a trampoline, which was fun in and of itself. But and then there was another group as I got, you know, later in high, I graduated high school in 99, and this was like the summer after I graduated. And there was another group, there was probably like 20 people. They had a makeshift ring, pretty much made out of plywood and springs that didn't actually spring very well. It was basically trying to wrestle in a boxing ring.
Okay.
But, we started that, and that actually, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I'd walk away with, you know, cracked teeth and bruised ribs and all kinds of stuff like that, but it was still fun.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm happy that I didn't, because even if it's fun, I don't like cracked ribs and busted ass teeth. My mouth is bad enough. I don't need any more busted teeth.
There's nothing like running and jumping off of a roof and missing.
Yeah, for no money at all, just because you want to.
Just because it was fun, yeah.
I
was a teenager. I was crazy. What do you want to do?
Not throw myself off a roof. That's something. That's on my list of things I want to do. So, you start e-fetting through AIM conversations, fetting things. It doesn't really stick.
No.
Because how does that? I still can't understand. Like I get the IWA stuff. I get emailing feds. I get that. I don't get AIM. I just don't. And if anybody listening to this has done this or run one or done and can explain it better than Terry can, because Terry obviously it didn't stick with him, so he doesn't.
It was 13 years ago, dude.
So I remember what I was doing in 13.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was 13 years ago, and it was bad.
All right, fair enough. I remember what. 13 years ago was in second grade.
Jesus Christ.
Is that two? Yeah, second grade. Oy. So, where do you get the. Does that, like, get the bug going for e-fetting? Are you like, all right, well, this was fun, but it's just not working, so I gotta go find something else?
It got the creative juices flowing, I guess you could say. But, I don't know. That kind of fell apart, and I didn't do it because I didn't know about real e-feds because I just didn't take the time to learn about them, I guess. Mm-hmm. But about, I don't know, a year later, 2001, I was, talking to a friend of mine who actually used to backyard wrestle with me. And, he was like, yeah, I'm doing this thing, and, It's called an e-fed and blah, 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 blah. And first thing I thought was, oh, great, another AIM thing. But no, he's like, oh, they got a forum and they do all this and do all that. So I went and checked it out and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And, so that was the RWF, what was called the Ruckus Wrestling Federation. I think so. I think that's what it's called. That's what I'm going to call it anyway.
See, if you said RWF. And I've had Talon and I had Eddie Phoenix. They're both Robo Wrestling Federation. I was like, if he says the Robo Wrestling Federation and none of those two motherfuckers can recognize his name and he doesn't recognize their name, something's wrong.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that one.
So was it Ruckus? How'd they spell it? Did they spell it CK or just a K?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It was spelled RUKKKUS.
That's racist.
That's not a joke.
That's racist. I don't support that fed. I already had enough time saying I was a Riley Cooper fan before he dropped the N-bomb, and then he drops the N-bomb. People go, "Oh, you're a fan?" Oh man, yeah, no, I don't support the the KKK Wrestling Federation. Whether they spell it ruckus, they say ruckus. Yeah, that was just a way to get, say, KKK fed.
It really wasn't anything like that, though. It was just, the name of it was pretty freaking horrible how it was spelled.
Yeah, that's probably not, you know. Although, you know what, I honestly,
that could be the most... It's not like they called it the Fried Chicken and Watermelon Fed or anything, so they weren't trying to be racist.
Callahan would totally be down for that kind of fed, though. Totally would be. Because, you know, he loves him some primetime players. Yeah. Oh, man.
Great story. Oh, God.
Loves Callahan's accidental racism. So, you're in... RUKKUSWF. I have to spell ruckus out all this way just to reaffirm that they're racist. Because Radical Ultra Ku Klux Klan Universal Setting Wrestling Federation, that's what it stands for. I just pulled that out of my ass and it kind of sounds all right. I'm proud of that. So Terry Marvin enters the forums, the e-fighting world, and the Ku Klux Klan. Is he wearing a hood when he comes in?
He is not.
Okay.
Not even close. I'd like to state again, for the record, it was not a racist wrestling federation.
All right, we'll chop it. I can't get over the way they spelled it. Just because, you know, I always laugh looking back at, like, feds that were like hardcore, they spelled it with a K, or extreme, and they spelled it just with an X.
Yeah.
Or anything that ended with an S was a Z. It's just like, guys, it's 2005. That was like the 90s are over. We can spell things correctly now, right? You know that, right? I blame the Hardy Boys.
I do too.
They're team extreme and spelling. Hardy Boys and Dudley Boys a little bit.
With a Z.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Yeah. It was...
I blame the American education system.
I blame that for a lot of things. I'll give it a slide for this one. It's in the wrestling world. Come on. I blame it for when somebody can't spell Philly properly. Spelled it with I. I saw that.
F-I-L-L-Y, right?
No, P-H-I-L-L-Y.
Nah, you're wrong.
Oh, I'm wrong. I've been spelling Solo Philly wrong for 9 years.
Obviously.
8 years.
Obviously.
Yeah, apparently. But...
because of the American education system, obviously.
You know what? I should have paid attention. You know?
People from Pennsylvania.
When I started... Don't even. You're from Cleveland.
No, I'm not from Cleveland.
You lived in Cleveland.
I've never lived in Cleveland.
You're from Ohio. You root for the Browns. It's close enough. I'm going to assume. Poor guy.
I am close enough. I'm like 40 minutes from Cleveland.
Like I said, do you affiliate? I can't hook you.
At least you're not from Pittsburgh. That was worse.
Yeah, we can all agree that Pittsburgh is the worst. So, you're in Ruckus Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
Terry Marvin's first real fed, I would say, because I don't count AIM feds.
No, I don't.
I'm not going to count AIM feds. I'm sorry. So
there was actually before that there was an email fed I was in, but I was X-Pac. It was a real WWF at that time fed, and I was X-Pac, and I was just like, God, this sucks.
Why were you X-Pac?
Because all the good guys were taken.
So all the good guys were taken, and apparently all the bad guys were taken because you took X-Pac. Shit, I would have taken like Pat Patterson and taken him out of retirement or something like that.
You know, I probably should have done something like that.
So,
Andre the Giant, but he's dead. Not anymore.
I don't care. You know, X-Pac's available. I'll take Andre the Giant's corpse. So. You enter RWF.
I actually tried to take the 1-2-3 kid over X-Pac, so.
Wow. That's when you know things are going bad for X-Pac.
Yes, I know.
So, Terry Marvin is he starts being an arrogant asshole, right? He was an arrogant asshole from day one.
Oh yeah, he came in as an arrogant asshole. His first promo, he came in wearing a spray painted belt, calling it the Ultimate World Championship.
Only you could have said Ultimate. Ultimate Supreme World Championship.
Yeah,
or the Life Rape Championship. Never gonna go wrong with a Life Rape Championship. So, you walk in, you say, "I have this belt. It's spray painted. It's the Ultra World Championship, which means it's better than the World Championship." How do like? Were you taken seriously when you first got in, or did you have to like work a little bit to prove your worth?
Probably after, I don't know, a month, I was starting to be taken seriously.
Okay.
After a month, it was, people saw me in there and saw my writing and saw that I was winning and was like, oh, well.
So this is 2001, 2001 still? Okay, so we got about 12 years to go. So
yeah, this is gonna be your first 5-hour podcast.
So take me a little bit through the highlights of RWF.
RWF for the most part, it was centralized as a hardcore type of Fed. And like every big match was a death match of some sort, some ridiculous, ludicrous death match that would never actually happen unless it was in fact a death match.
AK-47 on a pole match, and the first guy that gets it can use it. Yeah, don't worry though, it shoots out beanbags.
Like, there was a bed of nails match. Oh. Literally a bed of nails. where the object was to throw the guy out of the ring onto a bed of nails. Yeah.
This is where I'll blame the American education system for failing to teach these kids about the force of gravity. How the distance, how falling from that height. Gravity. That might kill somebody. Just might. It also depends on what kind of nails we're talking about.
Well, they were described as being inch-long nails.
Oh, okay, that's bad. Were they rusty?
Probably pretty bad.
Because then you get infections and diseases, even if you do survive.
but other than the extreme hardcore aspect of it, it was actually pretty well ran Fed. Okay. As far as that time period goes, it lasted until 2005.
Were you there all those years?
Yes, I was. I came in about a month after the Fed started, and I was there when it closed.
Okay, all right. So you were KK, you were Klansman for life.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yeah, and I'd like to go on the record and state it was not.
Oh man, it's okay. Nobody takes
you're gonna have to disclaimer this one, man.
No, nobody takes this podcast seriously.
Everybody takes this podcast seriously.
I guess. I don't know.
People are offended. They haven't been asked to be on it yet.
Well, those people who are offended who haven't been – I don't ask. I don't grovel at people's feet to be on. Unless you're Kurt Noble, Jack Benevolence, or Doug Fresh, only people I'll grovel for. I will shamelessly just be like, please, please.
Why haven't you got Dougie on it yet?
Because he hasn't – like I don't know. Just – I don't want to bug him and be like, hey, you want to be on? It's just one of these things, like, I'll bug him at a later point.
Yeah, Doug will do it. Doug's episode will be amazing.
I know. He does video promos.
Yes.
So he's not shy about his voice at all. So take me through the first couple of years. Or are you running train on these people already? Like you said, it took about a month for you to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
From that from that like second month on where you were just running trade on everybody, taking all the titles, doing the Terry Marvin thing?
For the most part.
Terry Marvin, arrive, win all the championships. Keep it.
I started off and like after a month I won the mid-card title and held that for God way too long.
Define way too long.
Probably a year.
So you've been holding the APW Undisputed Championship for way too long then.
Yes, I've been holding the APW Championship for way too long.
I just want to make sure what way too long is, because for you, way too long is a lot different for other people. I mean, you hold a title for 3 months, you didn't hold it long enough. Some people say, shit, get it off me after this. What are you doing for, like... You have the title for a year. Were you going for other titles, the higher titles, or no?
No, I was working a lot of storylines at that point. I was having fun just doing the stories.
All right.
And because that's all it really was. It was you could go in there, you could role play, you could do a promo, like just cut a promo on somebody, and that's fine. But most of the people just wrote long, drawn out, big ass, 10,000 word stories as role plays, and that's kind of what I did. And I got into that, and it was I had a fucking blast doing it.
I feel bad for the staff reading. You get fatigue like that. Like I hate reading more than I want to say like six. I can read about a 6,000 word promo. Any more than that, just like okay, all right, you could cut. Like I at that point I just start like editing it for him, like you didn't need to say that. Like that's irrelevant. You didn't need that. irrelevant, useless.
Alright, you're done 4,000 words ago.
Yeah, right. It's like sitting there, I'll take it from the site, put it in Word, edit it, put it back up there, like, alright, now you can read it. You edited it. Yeah, well I saved your ass a loss, alright? Relax. So you're
it was more than just sitting there and writing 10,000 words. Yeah. It was like probably 10,000 words over five different role plays.
I see, that's fine.
It was a lot of back and forth storytelling and stuff like that. So it was really cool.
Do you miss that? Because I mean, a lot of feds that everybody's in now have role play limits at one or two, so you don't get that back and forth nature. I think. APW has for Asylum has two, and then Overdrive has one. CRW doesn't have a roleplay limit. I don't know. SCW doesn't, right?
They don't have a roleplay limit, but they only take the best roleplay in account. So
okay.
If you take six roleplays, they take your best one, and that's what counts.
Okay, so that's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You can write as much as you want, but that's not going to help your fact if they all suck.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you miss that, though? Because a lot of the way the fighting is gone now, it's kind of gone away from back and forth.
I kind of do miss the back and forth a little bit. Now it's just you go in there, you find some material, you shoot on somebody, you write a little bit of CD, and, you know, that's your role play. Before it was, you trash talk somebody, they trash talk you, you hit them harder, they hit you harder, and it got heated. It really instilled that level of competition. Which sometimes it got too heated and it turned into, out of character battles, but, you know, you'll have that anywhere.
Yeah. Comes with the game.
But, yeah, it was, I do miss it to an extent. I don't miss having to write, you know, five role plays a week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 10,000 words a week.
I think everybody's become, like, conditioned to, okay, you got to do a little CD, and then you got to do, you know, some shoot, but most of the times you only get one or two role plays in a period, so you put a lot of time and effort into it, making sure it's good. And
because
I remember, you know, 5 years ago or so, it's just like, all right, here's 600 words, boom. And then my opponent will put out another 600 words, and it was just back and forth, and it was like, and there was no thought going into it other than like, all right, this sounds funny. This is a good joke I can say. This is a good way to compare him to a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
So I think, I'm like you, I miss it, but at the same time, going back and reading that, I'm ashamed almost. It's like, hey, wow, I really had low standards into what I thought was funny. I feel like Vince McMahon. Or at least Vince McMahon wrote my promos. It's like, shit, that's not funny at all. Why did I think that was funny?
You didn't ever want anything if that was the case.
No, I really didn't. No, I never win. Everybody says that I'm a great role player. Please, I don't win. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Who said that? I've never heard that.
What, that I'm a good role player?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
You don't listen to these enough. Or at least I also edited it out. I don't want people thinking that others think I'm good. I'm not.
Well, I'm just gonna sneak it in every like 5 or 6 seconds though, so you can't edit it completely out. TJ's a great role player.
Fuck you. So you're focusing on storylines for a year.
Uh-huh.
Do you yourself drop the title after a year and say, I've held this long enough, or do you actually lose it?
I actually dropped it once during that year for like literally a week. I dropped it. I had planned to drop it. I do believe the guy during the match I'd planned to drop it on no-showed.
Ooh.
And dropped the title anyway. And then the next week, they're like, yeah, this guy quit. I'm like, oh, well, fuck.
So that's always fun. Hey, man, I'm going to drop you the title. Cool, man, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want the title. Much. So but, where do you go from there? Because now you're going into your second year. People are taking you seriously. You no longer have to spray paint world titles.
Right. All right.
Do you go world title hunting after that year long reign?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much a given at that point.
How long did it take you to get the first world championship?
I think it was a year.
Okay. All right. It's not bad.
For a point, I actually held the world and the mid card championship at the same time.
Okay.
So now
you're a 3-time Emmett Till champion. No, these are not in bad taste. I hope.
These are terrible.
All right, fine. I retract my statement. Forrest Gump championship, all right?
Yeah, that's better. Wow.
Oi, that was a bad one. Again, remember? Now I didn't have to go back and look at my championship in my past role plays. I think that was funny. It was funny though. It's bad taste. So
hold on, we got a call on the other line. The NAACP wants to talk to you.
Tell Reverend Jackson I said what up. So it took you a year to win the world championship.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you going back and win the world, the mid card championship again?
No, I didn't. I was still holding the mid card when I won.
Oh. Oh. All right. So you're one of them assholes.
Uh huh.
Okay. All right.
But after that, I quickly dropped the mid card.
Okay.
Quick as I could anyway.
Yeah. You know what? I could drop it now. I can't do it right now. So it's not the right time.
I had a tendency back then, at least with the mid card title, of defending it against people who no showed.
Oh.
And it was just like, okay, I'm gonna drop it to this guy. And he no shows. I'm like, fuck.
So was that in your first year you won the mid card and the world title?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wow. Okay then. See, I had thought that after you lost the world, the mid card, it took another year to get the world title.
No, no, that was all in my first year.
Oh, all right. Well, screw you. I don't want to talk about this Fed anymore. One, it's racist, and two, you won everything in a year. So we'll Fed, is there anything before the end of Ruckus Wrestling Federation that's stands out before the death outside of you just holding every title?
Well, this is it's really where Terry developed a reputation as a manipulative, lying bastard that you can't trust.
So kind of like the real guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Fuck you.
Well, you.
You racist bastard.
I'm not racist. I hate everybody equally.
You're hating on me. That's, remember, I'm Jewish.
You are the, I think you are the actual, now you're going to actually be the first Jew on.
Now I'm
going to
be the first Jew. Fantastic.
I think. I'm not entirely sure. There's another Jewish person. I don't ask people's race or creed or you know, sexual orientation. I'm not about that on the Fed Journal. I'm just about making jokes that are in poor taste. Although I feel
I guess I should clarify that since it's been a long time since the inside joke. I'm not really Jewish either, so.
So, the, so you're, well, what was, my question was, would anything stand out in your 4 years in Ruckus Wrestling Federation?
Yeah, a lot of things stood out.
Okay.
You want me to go over them all?
Sure. Sure.
But really, it was pretty much set the theme of what Terry Marvin was going to be from then on, which was pretty much a monster, dickhead, arrogant prick, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there was like 2 years of one particular storyline that was just one giant swerve in process, and it took 2 years to pretty much manifest.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much defined the Terry Marvin ever since. You can't trust anything he does.
How much patience did that take for you to just be like, yeah, I could do it right now, but I want to build it even more?
Oh, it took a lot. It was
4 years.
Or 5 times I could have pulled the trigger, and I was just like, eh, we'll let it go a little bit longer.
It's 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, some people don't stay in a Fed for 2 years. Feds don't stay open for 2 years.
Right.
And then you're sitting here going, well, I'm going to let this build for 2 years.
Pretty much.
It's just, you just don't see that as much. It's, you see a lot of people working pay-per-view to pay-per-view or, right. You know, 3 months to 3 months. It's just a lot of months. It's 24 months, in case people didn't know. I provide education.
I love things like that. I love things that aren't rushed, that kind of, you know, take their time to build, and then when they happen, it's like, oh, well, that I didn't fucking see that coming.
Mm.
But.
So, what was the swerve that he was a good guy, and then, boom, bad guy, or swerve that he was a bad guy, but he's not all that bad, and then, boom, I'm kicking a duckling down a hole?
It was pretty much, I came into the Fed, I was heel, of course. And after like a year and into my first title victory, my first world title victory was over like the mega super crazy kill everybody heel. And when I say kill everybody, I mean he literally had killed people in the ring, which was fantastic.
That's good. That bodes well for you. Did he get arrested after you beat him? It's like, as long as I'm champion, I'm not getting arrested. And then as soon as you beat him, instead of confetti falling from the sky, the SWAT team falls from the sky.
But looking back on that would have been awesome.
That would have been hilarious. It's like, but congratulations to Terry Marvin. And now, life sentence for this guy.
No, when I beat him, it was kind of like, you know, he became instant hero. Terry became instant hero. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not a hero. I'm warning you all right now. If you look at me as a hero, I'm going to disappoint you. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, that kind of came about to be.
Okay. And then did you kick the duckling down the hole?
Yeah, then I kicked the duckling down the stairs.
Sweet. Awesome. That's good. That's instant heel heat. I don't know why, like, I don't know why people don't do that more often. It's animal cruelty, but it's duckling, people. There's a million of them.
I'm not a big fan of ducks. I'm writing a role play right now for one of my other characters that's a heel, so I'm going to go ahead and take him down the stairs, kick a duckling down the stairs for you.
Thank you. Let me
know. I'll credit on it.
Ah, sweet. So, yeah, my buddy said he's got problems with ducks. He goes, yeah, they are pretty bad. Oh, look, a duckling kick. So, I'm a terrible human being. I haven't advertised anything less than, though. So, I think, uh-oh. Wow. You had to bring that to the mic, didn't you?
What?
You just had to bring the can to the mic to open it up.
It wasn't that close to the mic.
It sounded pretty close. So, you swerve everyone, lead them to believe that you're a hero, but while you're doing that, you're also warning them, and then it's like, this shouldn't be surprising to you dumbasses, but I guess it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Does a super psychotic killer guy come back for revenge?
Yes, he comes back for revenge as the good guy about 2 years later.
Oh. So now does he kill in the name of good? You're a bad person, Terry Marvin. You deserve to die.
Honestly, I don't remember how any of that came about, but I think he came back. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Oh.
So it's like, this is like a Hollywood action movie. Except you're like the bad guy who forces, you end up being the good guy in the beginning of the story, but at the end of it, you're the bad guy, and you need to be taken down because you let power get to your head. You went from spray painting world titles to actually holding them. You've gone too far.
And I still spray painted them once I held them, so.
You're an evil bastard.
I am.
So, what else stands out from Ruckus?
That's about it. I mean, for a lot of the outlandish storylines that were there, like people dying, mm-hmm. there were really, really good, just dramatic storylines that came out of it too. But that's pretty much where my basis of writing stories kind of came from.
Okay.
And then after that, I pretty much turned into a promo guy. But
that was the episode. Where do you go after Ruckus? After Ruckus closed its doors in 2005?
About a year before it closed its doors, I started branching out to another place.
Okay.
Which was, oddly enough, called RWF.
So many RWFs.
It was Revolutionary Wrestling Federation at that point.
Okay.
So still not the Robo Wrestling.
No, still not. It's another one. It's three RWFs. Okay. They're almost as common as Hardcore and Extreme.
Yeah, seriously.
Sheesh. So, year before Ruckus closes, you start. You come over to this place.
Yeah.
Do you walk in, like, claiming that because you're a champion over there that you should be the champion over at the other RWF? Like, do you bring the title and say, this is what the RWF World Championship looks like now? Because the initials are all there.
No, it didn't quite go like that at all.
Okay.
No, I went over to there and, like, not disparaging the writers that were at the old RWF, but when I first showed up at Revolutionary, it was completely different. Like, the writers were, everybody was quality, like super high quality writer.
Okay.
So it's kind of like going from going from a Fed in 2012 to APW.
Okay.
So it was something like that. But yeah, so I joined Revolutionary, and they had a pretty decent storyline set up for me there when I got in, of basically I would be like this corporate kind of cheeseball guy that they hired in. So basically working for the man, we'll say, since we're on a racist kick.
Jesus. We're not on a racist kick. I'm just saying you were in a Fed that spelled ruckus with three K's.
Yeah, and you had to take it to that dark, dark place.
I didn't have to. It was already there. There was no reading in between the lines. It was there. As soon as you told me it was spelled with three K's, I shouldn't have been. I hope I wasn't the only one. We'll find out when we'll
get. Oh no, you weren't the only one. It was a running joke back then. So
that's gonna be the poll for this episode: is does ruckus with three K's sound racist as fuck? That's gonna be the legit. Like that'll be it. Yes or no. And then maybe you have an option of, I don't know, ask Emmett Till. I don't know. So you're in. So you start playing the corporate stooge a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much the arrogant. You know, I'm better than you because, you know, I work with the system. I'm a conformist.
You're a conformist, man. I don't know. That was
That was pretty fun.
Being a corporate stooge,
yeah.
Being a Pat Patterson, but oh, yeah. Active. So, so you go from a Fed that the quality is not exactly there, the intent's there, and the stories were there, but it just wasn't quality.
Right.
Writing. As a whole, it was, but from show to show, not exactly.
Yeah.
To this Fed where it's quality all the time.
Right.
Does it take a little bit to get adjusted to not being that, like, not being the guy because everybody's better than you, or at least everybody's got quality?
It actually kind of inspired me to step my game up.
Okay.
Like, I didn't just walk in there and write a crappy promo that I was used to writing. No, I scoped it out for a couple of weeks and said, oh, these guys are, you know, head and tails above what I'm doing, so I better, you know, step it up. And yeah, it really pushed me to kind of tap into, because they were big into the part CD, mostly promo, mostly shoot.
This is back in 04.
The 04, 05, yeah.
So they were a little bit ahead of their time.
Yeah. But, I mean, it still had that storyline part to it, but they actually had a title that was the shoot title, where the only thing you can do in an RP was shoot.
Okay.
Which was actually pretty cool. I like that. I like that aspect of it. They had something a little different than everybody else at the time, because it was still around 2004 where you had 15,000 different eFeds popping up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was the same for the most part.
And that kind of made them stand out a little bit.
Yeah. It was one of the things that made them stand out.
Okay.
The quality of writers was the other thing that made them stand out. So,
in fact,
the shows were always on time.
That always helps.
That always helps, yeah.
Especially back then when you could go a month between shows and they act like the show happened then. They're like, oh, well, then you can. Then we're going back in time? All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So, when the first RWF closes, when Ruckus closes, you stop.
Right.
You're not splitting your time anymore. So you see an increase in your quality because of that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Does that mean an increase in quality mean more title shots, more gold?
Well, after when I first started in Revolutionary Wrestling, I think I won the you know, secondary mid-card title, what they call the North American title, after a month.
Fuck you.
Being there.
Go on.
But yeah, I pretty much stayed there for about a year. I didn't have the title for the whole year, but.
Mm-hmm. But you stayed around it.
Stayed around there, and then once RWF closed and I devoted more time to RWF.
That just sounds weird. Yeah, as soon as RWF closed, I devoted more time to RWF.
This is the puzzle version of eFed Journal.
If anybody's listening and they were like zoning out a little bit and they're like, wait, what the fuck? What do you mean? Was he trying to save it? I don't get it.
But yeah, once it closed and I devoted full time to Revolutionary. Mm-hmm. One of the matches, one of the rules they had there was, it was pretty cool, but every title had to be defended every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Except for the TV title, which was defended every week.
That could really screw up some feuds, though.
Yeah, it kind of did. Okay. And then, like, I think 2 weeks after Ruckus closed, I had a match in Revolutionary with the world champion. At that time was a guy named Mad Mumpf, who is now in APW.
Okay. I was about to say, I recognize the name.
Yeah. And I beat him and won the world title.
And he's coming back for revenge.
Yeah, he's back for revenge, apparently. But, so yeah, that was my first world title reign with the other RWF.
Okay.
But that place was fun, like I said, because there was, it was more shoot, and there was quite a bit of back and forth, because each show, I think it was bi-weekly at that time. Maybe it was weekly. Maybe it was every 10 days. I don't remember.
Okay.
It was less frequent than the old RWF was. But anyways, it was a 3 role play limit. So there was plenty of back and forth for it. And so it was shoot, it was back and forth, and it was just something that I hadn't done before, obviously. So
mm-hmm.
It was cool. I liked it.
Okay. So how long were you in this RWF?
I think it closed in late 2005, so a couple years.
Okay. You entered it in 2005. Well, yeah, so a couple years then, yeah.
So about a year and a half, maybe.
Okay. I was going to say, so you don't know. So for about four to 6 years of your e-fitting career, you don't know any initials other than RWF.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And you can't blame the American education system on that.
Nope, I can't.
So where do you go to after Revolutionary?
After Revolutionary, I was in a place called, I want to call it British Championship Wrestling.
Okay. You're not entirely sure what the B stands for?
No, it was British. I can't remember if it was British Championship or if it was just British Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it was British Championship Wrestling. It's all coming back to me.
It's all coming back to me now.
Let me have another sip of memory juice.
No, that's the wrong memory juice. Oh, that's shit. The one that makes you lose your memory. Forget things. So, how long are you in? Is this one of the, because I remember when we did the first one, there was a couple feds you just kind of jumped around for a little bit, never really were, you know, in for long because they would either close.
Yeah, this is one of those.
Okay. So
yeah, this was like a year-long period of being in feds that were open for a month and closing.
Okay, so we'll fast forward to that year after then.
Okay.
Because because normally it takes you about a month to win the world, win the mid-card, so I'm just thinking that you're not going to win the world championship in a month, unless you do, in which case, fuck you.
Well, actually, in BCW, I won it my first match. So.
Fuck you.
Well, it was a battle royal, and everybody was in it.
still, fuck you. I've been in those kind of things, and you're the guy I hate.
This is going to come off as, like, the most your most arrogant guest on EFJ, I swear.
Oh, hell yeah. Probably.
I'm not trying to be. I'm really not. I'm really a humble guy that can beat everybody else.
just needed to drop that fact on there.
No, I'm kidding. I'm humble.
I think it was Gooch who says it. You're the most humble guy, and then we take it away when you wear the award. Like, we give you the most humble man award, and then you walk around with it, and we take it away from you. No, guys, I'm not really proud of the fact that I own every championship in the experts in CWC universe, but I do hold them all, and even the ones I don't hold right now, just know I could hold them.
Hey, there are plenty of those that I've lucked into and that I probably shouldn't hold anymore. So
you spend a year doing what most people do, is just go jumping around from Fed to Fed, because most of them die.
Yeah.
Where do you actually stop and be in a Fed for a little bit?
That would be Connecticut Forum Wrestling.
Forearm?
Forum.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought you said forearm, and I was like, forearm? It's a hell of an acronym.
You say that like it's any worse.
I'm just saying, forum. I can get forum because either they mean like internet forums, or like the FedEx forum is a arena. So there's, you know, I don't know. Maybe they meant forearm, and the guy listening, oh, forearm. Okay, let's go with forum. Like, it was a joke, and he said forearm.
That's exactly what it was. You nailed it. You cracked the case.
Oh, no, was the Fed a joke?
Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I'm here every Monday and sometimes Tuesdays.
Sometimes Wednesdays if I'm fucking lazy.
Yeah, if I'm really lazy. Did I crack the case for the Fed itself being a joke, or just the name of the Fed being a joke?
Actually, me saying that you cracked the case, that was a joke.
Oh, I didn't crack the case?
You didn't crack anything.
I'll be back on after that. We're done this. I'm gonna put on my detective hat. I'm gonna get my dog, who's basically useless to sniff things out. So, you're in Connecticut Forum Wrestling. You win the title in like the first 3 weeks you're there, probably.
Well, I joined CWF, CFW, whatever it was, CFW. That's what it. I joined that because like a lot of the guys that were in Revolutionary Wrestling were actually there. And I had put my my profile up on Rough Cut. Okay. And one of the guys there saw it and said, hey, we're all over here now, so come join. And I did. And I kind of came in as a babyface, which
was
really weird. And I didn't want to be a babyface.
Why were you a babyface then?
Because I was told to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because your friends were a babyface group, so you had to be a babyface.
No, I came in, my friends that came from RWF, they had formed a group called We Are the Revolution, War.
Okay.
And they were a heel group, pretty much trying to take over everything. I was like, sweet, I'll go in there, I'll join that, because one of the members of it just left. I'll join that, it'll be amazing. No. I didn't get that chance. I came in and I was forced to be a face.
Like, was it like you put the profile on the site and the guy said, hey, we're kind of heavy on heels, so we're going to make you a face? Or was it, can you be a face?
Here's the way it went.
Okay.
Posted my application, sent in the sample role play, which just happened to be the role play that won the world title at RWF. But so I sent that in, and he contacted me a little while ago. He's like, hey, great role play. I need you to be a face. And that was all he said. I was like, okay, why? And he's like, well, we got this war group and we need, you know, somebody capable to go up against them.
So it was one of these things is, those guys are really good and we don't really have a face who can beat them.
And they were. Those guys were really good.
Yeah.
I think in that group there was three former RWF world champions.
And if you so, would have been in it, you would have made the fourth.
Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, he forced me to be a face, but I kind of see where he was coming from it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep things balanced,
yeah.
Or it just gets really ridiculous. So that's what I did. I was a face there, and I was pretty much the most generic, arrogant face you could possibly be.
So you were writing basically the same Terry Marvin, but you had to change things around because he had to be a face?
Yes.
Did that take you out of wrestling, e-wrestling, a little bit? Because I know when, like, some people are told, like, hey, can you write like this for a couple months or something like that, and they do it, and they're just like, wow, I'm not having fun with this, I'm just going to leave?
It almost got to that point.
Okay.
It really did. It almost got to that point. But I kind of, I guess, figured out how to be a face, the right way, I guess,
mm-hmm.
eventually, and started having fun with it again, because he put me in a couple of really good feuds, and that's, I mean, if you're not having fun in e-wrestling and you don't want to take a break, get a really good feud with somebody who knows how to run one.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to really knock yourself back into it.
Were you doing feuds with your friends right away, like, or was that something
that's that kind of that's kind of what I started out doing was feuds, okay. Feuds against them. And I I didn't form a group, but I was the leader of a group that was pretty much formed for me, called the Forum Horsemen. Forum Horsemen.
Okay. All right. Well, that's... See, I would have went with, like, some acronym that meant peace, so that it was war versus peace. Like, that's what I would have done if I was going to make a stable for somebody. Like, they're war. Let's make up peace. Like, think of an acronym. People ethically against creative efforts. I don't know. Although that'd be a hell of an, you know what? I'm writing that down.
Is that like the union of people you ought to respect, son?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging back a ways.
You are.
That's right. I'm old. Deal with it.
It's okay. It's all right. So, do you stay a face throughout the entire time?
Let me think. Yeah, I do believe for that first run of CWF, anyways, I stayed a face.
Okay.
CFW, sorry.
I was sitting there. I was like, wait a second, hold on.
No, it's easier to say CWF, so I'm always going to say that, but it was CFW.
I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, you got that.
Sweet. I'm smelling what you're shitting. I got you. You don't like that one? That was a good one. I like. I'm smelling what you're shitting.
I don't like that at all.
Sorry,
you don't hear that anymore.
All right. Well, I'm gonna keep saying it, but just not on your episode.
That'd be fantastic.
All right. Fuck you. Damn you, Terry Marvin.
Damn you, Terry Marvin.
Do you have your available own? Damn fall you,
2013.
Huh?
Is it shirts are available fall of 2013?
Do you have your own damn you, Terry Marvin moment?
Oh, a lot.
All right. We'll get to them. I just wanted to ask this way, so I'll remember to ask. So you're in CFW, working a face for the first run. So I'm guessing that this place closed down at some point, only to reopen later.
Yeah, that's quite a story, actually.
Oh, well, do tell.
Okay. So we're in this Fed for... fucking a year, I think. No, probably not that long. It's probably more like 8 months I'm in it, and storylines are going pretty decent and everything. We got the Forum Horsemen up and running, and they're pretty much the face version of war, I guess you could say. So we're pretty much taking over everything, but we're supposed to be faces. So.
Okay.
I kind of had a problem with that, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, you're taking everything back.
That's the way I tried to write it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't often come out that way, but...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to write as a, oh, we're going to take everything back. Forth the forum. And then you're so, just like...
It came to a point where it was just like, okay, everything the guy who was running it was doing was just pissing people off left and right. From judging decisions to late shows to telling people how to run their character. So there was just a bunch of us that was just fed up with it. And we basically wrote an Exodus roleplay where I would say 75% of the Fed quit.
Okay.
So.
Were you a part of that percentage to quit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you go after?
It was real quick, actually. We went to a place called, oh, I'm going to fuck this up, too. Pro Wrestling X.
Okay.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling X, and that's the whole name of it. Pro Wrestling X, the letter X.
Right, there we go.
Yeah,
gotta love those.
It was a Fed that was only open for about a month before we got there.
Okay,
but the Fed head was really cool. He really wanted to work with people and kind of, you know, have them do whatever they want. So, I came in with some of the other guys from CWF, CFW, shit. Hold on, I gotta write that down. No, I came in with some of them, and a couple of them were people I knew in RWF, too. So we kind of formed our own stable there, and we were super uber heels again. So, yay.
So you're back to being in your comfortable spot.
Yeah, I'm back to being a dickhead. Shut up.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you did. You
didn't. I didn't say anything with the mic on.
So, yeah, PWX was really cool. I like the storylines they had running was pretty good. One of the characters that I was feuding with to start with, his name was... I'm going to fuck this up, too. Scott Hamilton, I want to say. That sounds about close. And his character was, he was a 40-year-old ex-con, veteran wrestler, and like kind of on his last leg. And
okay.
Yeah, Terry pretty much tore him apart. I think that was the one where I spied on and kidnapped his daughter just for fun, and then his daughter turned on him.
Okay.
That was fun.
All right. Okay, so they're showing a little bit of the ruckus in them. Just
yes.
Be like, I'm going to kidnap your daughter. Why? Because it's fun.
Yeah,
so so you jump off of buildings, like roofs of your home, onto a ring, hoping that you hit the ring for fun. Your e-wrestling equivalent kidnaps people for fun.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it was more than that. It was a whole swerve story.
Yeah. Was it 2 years in the running?
No, it was like 2 weeks in the running.
All right. Okay. That was a very quick brainwash.
Yeah.
So, you fuck with this man's daughter.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you win.
And I win.
That's not how wrestling's supposed to go.
Yeah, but that's how it went.
No. All right. So, how long are you in Pro Wrestling X?
I want to say 6 months.
Okay. Is that because it closed, or you guys, or you
left? No, it closed. It closed. Okay. Actually, the Fed head, I do believe, had some sort of brain cancer.
Ooh, okay.
And I think he actually, I don't know if he passed away right before he closed the Fed.
Or the Fed
closed. That's why the Fed closed. I think he passed away right after the Fed. He closed because he was getting worse, and then he passed away.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So, and actually, Blade was in that Fed as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blade, Pete, a.k.a. Pete.
A.k.a. Pete. So, Do you go back to Connecticut Forearm Wrestling?
Not eventually. He reopened, kind of apologized, and
apologized.
He apologized for the most part, and promised to let us do our own thing and be better, and so went back there. Won a battle royal for the shot at the world title, and this story does not end the way normal ones do, because I did not win the world title.
Yes, he is human, people. He is human.
I won the battle royal to fight for the world title, and then fucking he threw the, I think it was the ex-champion, into the match with us as a triple threat, which just kind of pissed me off.
Okay.
So that pissed me off, and then he kept doing other things like that, and we ended up leaving again.
Oh. He was putting his guys in position to win and everything, and playing favorites, it seems.
I mean, for the most part, he pretty much went back on his word to let us be our own character, because I came in as a heel, and then he instantly tried to make me a face again.
Ooh.
And it was just, oh. He has, the guy who ran that has really, really good ideas, and he really knows how to run a Fed, but sometimes he just, I don't know. I don't know if it was just a clash of personalities or misunderstandings or what, but we didn't get along, so.
So you leave Forearm Wrestling.
Yeah.
For the second time, what year is this?
07?
Okay.
Sure, sounds about right. 07, 08.
So, for time's sake, when do you enter APW?
2011.
Okay. And 2010, you were in the Survive and Conquer, though, right?
No.
No?
My first soiree into APW was the 2011 Survive and Conquer.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have my
2010, I actually went back to Forum Wrestling.
For a third time?
For a third time.
You're masochistic.
I am. But, no, it was actually better this time.
Okay. Well, take me back for that a little bit, since we know the story. Why was it better?
Because I actually wanted to be a face this time.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I wanted to be a face, and I kind of wanted to be the anti-hero kind of face.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Really explain it, but there was a big baby face in there, and he was just your classic generic, I love everybody, everything is good, baby face. And I came in as a baby face, claiming that he was corrupt and the system was corrupt, and actually, through my role plays, I turned the guy heel, which was pretty cool. And he was all down for it, too, so it was pretty cool. But, yeah, everything kind of worked out until it closed again.
Somebody else got pissed that they had to be a heel.
No, he was just... the guy who was running it was just done running it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it closed. It closes with that when I was the world champion. And after that, I went to another Fed. I can't remember what it was called.
That's how he became Terry Marvin, or at least everything that was before we actually cared about who Terry Marvin is. I kid, Terry. I kid, kind of. No, I'm totally kidding. So, yeah, part one. That was part one. Head over to part two. If you're interested in it, if you already know enough about Terry and you don't want to know anymore, then you just stop here. But I really hope you listen to part two, because it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit longer, 2 hours long. So just head over there and listen.